See, Titus 2:11 tells us that grace is that which teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In other words, it's not someday tomorrow, someday down the road. It's today in this present world, today in this moment, right now in the moment. Because why? Because His grace is more than sufficient. His grace is that already given you the ability to be free. It's given you the ability to step into a freedom from all the things that would take your consideration of the Lord away from you. The grace has already come to empower you to fulfill everything God called you to do. So the grace is enough. Oh, we can pray for this. Father, just thank you, Father. Thank you for the offering, Father. Thank you for the hearts, Father, of evangelism, Father. Thank you for the hearts, Father, to that seek after you. A heart, Father, that seeks, Father, to know you. And Lord, as we sow into this offering, Father, we're sowing into that harvest, Father, for your kingdom. We're sowing into a harvest, Father, for your house, a harvest for your home, Father, a harvest, Father, for the world, Father. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that there's more than enough, Father, more than enough by your grace. Hallelujah. Just real quick this morning, I just want to, oh, thank you, my bro. Isaiah 10:27 tells us it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing, Isaiah 10:27. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing, Tina. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that brings us into an awareness of what God has already done. The anointing is when we understand it's the anointing. Now it means I'm set free from having to do it all in my own strength. Why? Because the anointing is already breaking the yoke. The anointing is taking that which was binding me to something that was not godly, and it's taking it and shedding it apart. See, the yoke was meant to bring to two oxen or three oxen or four oxen and bring them in and make them walk together. But see, if I'm walking together, I want to be walking with the Lord. If I'm walking together with somebody, I want to be walking with somebody who's going in the same place and the same direction that as I am. Because if I'm walking with something that's not of God, then it's not going where I'm going. So we need the anointing to break the yoke. But see, it always comes down to the thing that comes down to your freedom. That's why we can be like Tina was testifying. We can have all faith and still not be free. Why? Because freedom takes surrender. Freedom means we need to surrender to God. God work a process in our heart. Because when He works a process in my heart, now then faith can come and work for me instead of just leaving me sitting in a place where I think I got it, but I'm not really there. There was a moment, there was a vision, and let's go there first. There was a vision that I heard many years ago when we were in the upper room, and this lady said what she saw, and it was a fantastic vision. I wish I had seen it. It was like this wrong that she got to see it, not me. So, but anyway, because it defines a whole lot of what my life has been about. But in this vision, there was a prison cell, a dungeon. And she said, this man comes down into the dungeon and there's a light on him. Who is that? And there's a light on him. And as he walks by the prison cells, the doors just begin to come open. They just swing open. Every door in that prison swung open. And swung open. And she said that, but the vision made her sad because, see what she saw in the vision, that as soon as the door swung open, there were a few people who jumped up and ran out and they were gone. She said, but there were other people who just sat there and never moved and never moved. And the ones that made her sadder yet were there were a few who just reached out and reclosed the door and latched it. See, we choose by our surrender to Him or not. We choose by our desire to be free or not. We choose because it's something that God has given us the power to do. He's looking for us to engage His grace because His grace will empower us to break free. His grace will release the anointing on your behalf, but it still is a choice that we have to take. I testify. We've been talking about testimony, and I gave a testimony that happened a number of years ago, five years ago now. And this gentleman came, and he originally came because he needed, they were looking to, you know, they were in the middle of a divorce, and they were trying to get all these things separated. Well, it turns out that what the actual real deal was that he had a sex addiction. And so he was in the middle of this addiction, and that destroyed his marriage, as you can imagine. And it destroyed a lot of things. So as I began to minister with him, we just began to understand. He began to understand the nature of who God made him. When he began to understand the fullness of his identity, I know that's your word, Carlos, but we're going to borrow it today. But as he understood the fullness of his identity, it suddenly occurred to him he no longer had need for any of those things that he had been employing. Why? Because the anointing had shown up in his life. The anointing had shown up and broke the addiction. When the anointing shows up in his life and it breaks the addiction, now then the next time he goes back to his meeting, because he had court-appointed meetings, that's how the place where we were at in his life, and he had court-appointed meetings, they want you to say, "Hello, I'm such and such, and I'm an addict." And he said, "Hello, I'm such and such, and I used to be an addict, but I'm no longer, and I can tell you where to get free. I can tell you who to need to meet." And then the amazing thing was, he has walked out his freedom every day since. It wasn't just something that happened just for a moment in his life. It totally transformed his life. And today you would not recognize him for the same person. Today you would not see the same person that was there, that first showed up in the office. But the amazing thing to me was that he went to this meeting, and in this meeting there were 25 other people in there. And out of those 25 other people, only one person got the courage to come and inquire and see what God would have for them. What happened to the other 24? They got comfortable where they were. They got comfortable in their lack of freedom. They got comfortable in that place where the enemy was just beating them up and continually convicting them for something they never were in the first place. Most people don't get into that situation without it being something that was actually put on them. We have to recognize it doesn't matter whether it was something that we deliberately engaged or somebody engaged it for us. We have to recognize God has given us freedom. He's given us an anointing that will break the yoke. He's already testified of who he is. So, how do we do that? Number one, we recognize the power of what a testimony is. Because in Revelation 12:11, it says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the power and the word of their testimony. The word of the testimony and the blood of the Lamb, and not loving their life to the death. In other words, not loving what you already are doing, not loving those things that represented the world, and letting those things go so that we can step into what God has. Sometimes we find ourselves loving where we were enough that we don't try to find what God has. That's sitting in the cell and not coming out with the door wide open. But there's a place where he's already said, because see that word, when they translate it as the word of your testimony, what that is actually is, you can also look at it this way, it's the decree, it's the mandate. That's the actual meaning of that word, of logos. It's a decree, it's a mandate, it's something that comes with a command. It's a living voice is what it says. A living voice, meaning that living voice is continually speaking. So when I hear the testimony, of this man who got healed in spite of the fact that he didn't even want prayer, now I know that God has something afoot. God wants to show himself whether you want him or not. He wants to make an issue so that you got to figure out whether I want to keep this thing or not. He's going to put an issue in front of your face because he's wanting you to understand who he is. Johnny has it right there. He's going to put it in front of you. All we need is somebody who's bold enough to say it and release it. I forgot where I was going. I got excited with that. Freedom. So we're looking for the freedom, because in the place of freedom, when God is beginning to speak and he's releasing freedom, he's releasing something that's already there. When he's speaking the word, and when there's a word of testimony comes out, that word of testimony is a living voice that continues to talk, it continues to speak, because he's a living God, and he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So he's speaking to you from all three places. When a testimony comes forth, he's releasing the testimony from the past. He's releasing the testimony for today. He's releasing a testimony for tomorrow, all in the same moment. Because it's his desire. He's not looking for you to be locked up and held in bondage over something that happened when you were in the fifth grade. And he's not looking for you to come and say, okay, well, I got healed in the fifth grade, but today, man, you don't know what, you don't know what Pastor Chuck said? Oh my gosh. He wants to set you free for today. And he might even set you free for what's his tomorrow. Because why? It's his great desire. It's his great desire. We see it all through the word. Everywhere that he goes, everywhere that Jesus went, Jesus was only doing what he saw the Father do. He would only do what he saw and heard the Father. So he was representing the heart of the Father for you. So every miracle that he did, every situation that he encountered, you can see what the nature of the Father was in that. Hallelujah. When Peter got up, and he was walking on the water, and he was walking on the water, when the Lord was passing him by, the Lord was passing them by. And they began to cry out and think it was a ghost. Jesus says, don't be anxious. Fear not. See, it's the same thing he told them in John 14, 1. You know, in other words, because as we understand that he's not wanting us to be anxious about anything. He's not wanting us to be fearful about anything. He's wanting us to engage him in the assurance of who he is. Engage him in the assurance of the freedom he's already declared for us. Because as we engage that, then we can understand the wholeness that he's already got for us. He was walking by. He was walking by. But as he was walking by, Peter began to cry out. And as Peter cried out, there was something that happened. Because he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And I wondered about that, and I don't even have an answer for that. I was like, why would you, Peter, say that? Hello? He's out there on the water somewhere. We don't know if he's, you know, 2 steps away, 100 yards away. We don't have any clue. We don't know. All we know is that they could see him, but he was far enough away that he couldn't tell exactly who he was. Well, he probably wasn't right by the boat. And Peter says, bid me to come? Ask me to come? Why? Because Peter had a faith in him that whatever the Lord asked him to do, he was providing the wherewithal to do it. Because every command that comes from the Lord, he watched him, and every command that Jesus received from the Father, Jesus was able to follow through and walk on it. And when Jesus spoke to the man and said, go home, go your way, because your servant has been made whole, then that exactly is what happened. He could recognize that when Jesus spoke, something was released. There was a decree that went in. And because he had that faith for that decree, he stepped out of the boat. He stepped out of his place of comfort, and he began to walk on the water. And as he began to walk on the water, then he began to say, and I think there was probably a moment where he rejoiced. And then as he was rejoicing, he began to realize, I'm on the water. And so he took for a moment his eyes off the prize. He took his moment for his eyes off of the Lord Jesus, and he began to realize what his situation was. And we know what happened then. But let's not condemn him. Why? Let's celebrate him. Because as we celebrate his accomplishment, we're celebrating what's the possible. See, in that moment, he was demonstrating something for us. Because he's revealing the heart of God. Remember I said we were revealing the heart of God? He's revealing something. Number one, when Jesus is out there walking on the water, he's revealing that he had dominion over the water. When he called Peter out of the boat, he was also revealing that we have dominion over the things of the earth. That which is not possible by man is possible with God. When we recognize what's possible with God, now we can begin to do what is impossible with man. It's gonna, the more we allow that to transform our thinking, the more we can step outside the prison cell that the enemy tried to contain us with. We can enjoy the freedom that we have. It's necessary for us to enjoy the freedom. You know, Peter might have got a little wet, but I think he probably, when he went home in that night and when he was curled up in his bed, he was like, you know what? That was pretty awesome. When I do it, I'll let you know how awesome it is. Hallelujah. Because I'm intending to. But the deal is, we're not looking to emulate the act. What we're looking to do is recognize the freedom that has been given. Recognize the dominion that has been given. The dominion that is there to set us apart. Tina spoke about being set apart. Recognize that when you start walking in freedom, it sets you apart. Other people recognize it. And if they're not recognizing it, we need a little more freedom. Other people recognize what's there. They recognize the freedom that's in you. And when the freedom is in you, that freedom begins to send out a message all of its own. And it sends out a decree all of its own. Because see, somebody else can look and say, I don't know what that is that I see on Justin. I don't know what that is that I'm seeing on Robert. But whatever it is, I want it. And that's all God needs is say, that's all he needs. Because I can tell you that from personal experience because that's what happened to me. I just saw what was on that lady up there. All she was doing was receiving an offering. That's all she did, Melissa. She received an offering. And I saw something on her life and I said, I don't even know what that is. But I want it. And it was simply nothing more than the love of God. Nothing less than the love of God. God has a power to be released in that testimony. Your testimony. There's a power to be released, and that testimony is not limited to just where you've been, but that testimony can actually go and transcend the thing you've already done. Because someone else may not know the limitation you had in your thought. Hallelujah. I know I didn't give you a lot of scripture here. But I'm just encouraged by what I see. I'm encouraged by what I understand. Let me throw this out here real quick. God's involvement with you is not limited by you. It's not limited by where you've been. It's not limited by who you've been. There's one person who's mentioned in the Old Testament. Their story is told in the Old Testament. But you see, their story is not just in the Old Testament, but they get three mentions in the New Testament. Because why? Because God has something he wants to say to us. That person is Rahab. See, when the men of Israel came to Jericho and they encountered Rahab, she was a prostitute up on the wall. And because she stood in faith, because she saw and she believed in the God of Israel even more than the people of Israel. And she believed in the God of Israel and she stood and she acted on what her faith in the God of Israel said to do. And it released something. It released a testimony. Because see, she became the great-great-grandmother of David. Who was of the lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then it says in Hebrews 11, verse 31, you can see that Rahab is mentioned again as one who's having and standing in great faith. She's mentioned in the hall of fame of faith. And she's mentioned again in James 2. You see, in James 2, he mentions two people. He mentions the great faith of Abraham and being justified by what he did. But see, with Abraham, what Abraham did was have an intention in his heart that he never even actually carried out. We see him as a great rock of faith. But Rahab, the testimony was that she had it in her heart. And even though she came from a mean situation, a difficult situation, she was less than, or felt she was less than the other people that were around her. God still used that faith, and he's made a forever testimony of that faith because she stepped out in what little she knew. Guess what? That tells us something about the nature of the Father. The Father's not limited by who you've been. He's not limited by where you've been situated, because where she was situated straight up in the enemy's camp for her whole life. The enemy was all around her. She was part of the enemy's camp. Yet there was a faith that rose up in her that transcended and tells a story that's still being told. God was not intimidated about what her profession was. He wasn't intimidated about what her past was. He wasn't intimidated about the things that she had already done in her life, because he said, I see someone who has a skill set that I need. Someone who can bring a man into the city and hide him and let them see what needs to be seen. Somebody who knows how to engage with those that are around and still leave and let them get out so that it can come and go as they please. He used something that so many people would look down on instead of red. And the Lord says, I'm not looking down. This is the one that I want to call up. This is the one I want to call out. This is the one I want to release into my testimony, because my testimony will stand greater, because the glory of God is greater in that situation. It doesn't matter where we've been. He's looking to call us out. Whatever there is in you. Sometimes I've limited myself. I've limited myself because I know what's back there. I know where I've been. And I know the things that I did. And I'm like, oh God, please don't let that come back up here. Sometimes it does. But I'm not limited by that. Because my God is not looking at that. He's looking at the testimony. He's looking at the lineage. He's looking and said, this one's of the lineage of Christ. This is of the lineage of Christ. And I know where I'm going with him. That's what he wants to do with you. All we need is a heart to allow him to do what he wants to do. A heart that allow for the surrender so the freedom he's already ordained can be recognized. Hallelujah. Something? Come on. Come on.
Yeah, I just added two scriptures, but he was ministering here. I saw the woman at the well. She had to have been believing that one day she wasn't going to be laying around anymore. But her believing didn't just change the situation. It was her encounter with Christ that changed it. So you can be at home wishing and believing. You can be right there sitting in your seat or listening by airway. The Father is convinced you have the faith. But now it's time to have a surrendered heart. To not only believe that you're getting ready to come out, but receive the anointing that brings you out. So the woman at the well met him, and he spoke into her life and brought her out right on the spot. And not only was she free, she went back and a revival broke out and set a whole village free. Her testimony spoke to the village, and others were made free. Freedom is bigger than what we have accessed. This is the next phase of the church. I'm meeting too many pastors that got the faith. I want to tell you, pastors, I need you to be free, says the Lord. I need you to be free. And these two scriptures that I'm going to read is in Psalms. Psalms 91, 14 and 15. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. And the Lord answered me and set me free. Out of distress, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Out of my complaint, out of my grumbling, out of my problem, I called on the Lord. But Melissa, the way the Lord answered is in freedom. We think he answered by money. We think he answered by writing that $1,000 check. We think he answers by just giving us that promotion. But I'm telling you, the next phase of your life, he's going to answer by his freedom. Come on, somebody, and receive it. He's going to answer you by setting you free. He's not going to give you money. He's going to give you freedom in the name of the Lord. And the next verse is Psalms 118 and 5. It reads, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Meaning, that reason why I'm walking about in this freedom, now I can seek after the thought of God and what he has planned for me. That's the only way you can see your future. That's the only way you can come into that promise, is that you know the thought, and the thought of God that he has plans for you is all in your freedom. God bless you this morning. Oh, come on, put your hands together for this duo. Everybody like this duo freedom this morning. You should love this duo, trio duo. I mean, we just come and trailblaze the freedom of God, because that's what he wants. He wants his bride to be free. I've never seen a bride in bondage saying, I'm trusting God. He says, I come that my bride will be made free. And how will you know about your freedom? Your testimony will speak for you and set everybody else free. Somebody tell him yes. Shout with a voice of triumph unto God.
Hallelujah. That's awesome. That's awesome. God is such a God of freedom. He's such a God of freedom. It's such a testimony that he wants to release. You know, I have three people in mind, but I think there's probably, this applies to everybody in here, but, and there's a servant's heart that is being released. A servant's heart that is being released. There are certain things that have come to bind up your heart in the past, but today there's a breaking forth. There's a breaking free, and I want you to stand in the freedom. Stand in the freedom. Stand in the freedom that he's given for your heart. Stand in and make a choice. Even by your standing up, you're making a choice to receive the freedom that he put in you, Robert. The freedom that he put in you. They're standing in, you're making a choice to receive it. So stand in and allow him to rejoice in your heart. To rejoice in your heart.